Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. And listeners, we have a special episode for you today, mainly because we are live from Tampa, Florida.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's right. We got a call in the middle of the night the other day, saying CBS is no longer going to announce the Super Bowl. So they decided to get your boys, Let's Get Ready to Football podcast, podcasters to call the game. So we're prepping for that. We're also doing a little bit of previewing of the Super Bowl. So how you guys doing? How's your hotel room from Tampa, boys? Because we're in Tampa, but we're recording this in our hotel rooms.
Yeah, this whole social distancing thing isn't really a thing here in Tampa. Me and Davey are hanging out over here in our hotel room. We just didn't want to let you know.
We call it the cool people's room. And so we knew that you wouldn't be able to make it, Tom. Sorry.
Just kidding, listeners. We are not live from Tampa.
Oh,
we are live.
Why would you drop that bomb on them?
We are live from Idaho. And it's not going to be
live.
And we're not live. So.
But we are in Idaho.
And so, boys, we have a lot to talk about this week. There was a trade in the NFL, pretty big one, blockbuster. I don't know, blockbuster, but pretty big trade. Let's just start it off. So Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford got traded. Oh, the Rams traded Jared Goff to the Lions. The Lions traded Matthew Stafford to the Rams. What is your guys' first opinion?
Well, technically, it's not legal until the league year opens in March, so it technically hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. I think it's kind of... Well, you know, the picks and everything involved in the trade besides, obviously something was going on because Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay were both in Mexico together that night when it got traded, and they met up and had drinks afterwards with a bunch of other players, NFL players, and so they must have known something was going down. I'm sure Matthew Stafford's obviously excited to get out of L.A. Excited to get to L.A. And I think Jared Goff has a definite chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove himself in Detroit. And I think Detroit's definitely happy with the return that they received.
David, what are your thoughts?
So my first thoughts were, I think it's a win-win trade for both of them. I think the Rams got their... You know, I don't know. We'll see what Matt Stafford does. I think Matt Stafford, I'm actually curious to hear about what your thoughts on Matt Stafford as a Super Bowl contender or potential Super Bowl quarterback, like contender. You know what I mean? Like that level of a quarterback, Tom Colton. Because I feel like a lot of people underrate Matt Stafford, and I've always wondered, is it just because, you know, no one watches Detroit games, but I get to watch two of them a year? And is it just because the Packers always have such a bad defense that he just looks good against the Packers? Is it some combination of the two? I don't know. I think he's really good, and, you know, I think he's going to help them be a contender. And, I mean, if you're Detroit, you can't really complain too much about the two first-rounders and getting a potential. I don't think it's a quarterback of the future, but a guy, you know, a dart throw. At the very least, he's a dart throw to be the quarterback of the future. And at the even if it's not the quarterback of the future, I kind of like it when they get these guys that aren't going to be the quarterback of the futures in there, and just kind of they don't halt the rest of the team's development. Like Terry McLaurin this year, the last 2 years may have been totally different if they were playing with some just random, if they were playing with DeShone Kizer, like Kizer was for the Browns, like someone like that. And so at the very least, they'll help some of the young guys develop until they do find the guy of the future.
Yeah, Jared Goff definitely. I've heard a lot of people saying it was a salary dump, and I've heard you know, from all my very credible sources that I hear this these news from, that the Lions were basically demanding that Jared Goff be involved in the trade, and they're excited about him. And, you know, we've seen it in several places where, you know, picks, they just, you know, high draft picks don't work out in certain situations and under certain pressure and whatnot. But I think if you go to Detroit where there's, like, no expectations besides biting people's kneecaps off, I think that's a great opportunity for Jared Goff to really thrive. Now, he's not going to have as much weapons, you know, as he did have in L.A., but he's got T.J. Hockenson, and that's about it.
I heard it
really, like,
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
Just off of that, just a quick little, I heard a funny comment that I just have to believe is true. Is just imagining Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay at the signing table about to sign their contract, and then their agents getting an update that Matt Stafford had just been traded, and instantly going and taking the contract from their clients and ripping it up. And yeah, so they got T.J. Hockenson. That's about how it's going to stay, more than likely, I think.
Yeah, if I was Kenny Golladay, you know, or Marvin Jones, like, Detroit, you know, it's not a bad place to be, but you're definitely, for some reason or another, they've just never been able to get over the hump in that division. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to get the most money from Detroit. I would think they would get more money elsewhere. And, you know, I'd take it. Detroit's not a bad place. And it's like Davey said, you know, I'm a Vikings fan. I see two Detroit games a year. And it's one of those games that, you know, like, we should win this. Like, we always, you know, we should win this game. But you're always, like, watching the game. It's late in the fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford's got the ball coming down, and you're biting your fingernails off. Like, gosh, we should win this. Why is this game so hard to win? You know, they're always a tough out, for sure. I'm excited. I think, you know, it's a good move for both teams. I think, you know, it may kind of set a precedent for teams in the future going forward of, you know, what to do if they kind of have an underperforming, high-valued quarterback, you know. I think it's shown that teams aren't, you know, some teams are patient, some aren't, and you just got to marry the two and have blockbuster trades like this every single season. That would be great.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think about it, Thomas?
Well, first of all, shout out Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. We know they're big listeners of the program.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
but
we were the agents that ripped up the contracts. That's how it actually turned out, right?
that's right. How could I forget? But yeah, I think it's a good trade for I think the Rams, because I think Matthew Stafford, and I've spoke a little bit about this on the program or on the podcast, that Matthew Stafford is, like, whatever was going on in Detroit, it wasn't Matthew Stafford. It was, you know, either his defense or a lack of run game or, you know, coaching staff issues or whatever. But it wasn't Matthew Stafford. I mean, I think he's not going to go down as one of the greatest of all time, but I think during my time of watching football, he's definitely elite. And good for him for going to the Rams. Now, I'm not a big fan of it personally, because I don't like the Rams at all. Now, you know, they get even better with Matthew Stafford, and we're going to have to face him twice a year. But and, you know, I don't know really what to feel about Jared Goff to the Lions. You know, it could end up well, like you guys were saying. It could be something good, or, you know, this could just be a filler piece that they're building around for the future. I'm not for sure, but I guess we'll know for sure how good Jared Goff is in Detroit, because his surrounding cast that he had in LA is not going to be there. And so we'll get to see how that goes. But
who do you think won the trade then? It sounds like you're saying the Rams. Do you think the Rams won the trade?
To be honest, now this is bad research. The only thing I know about the trade is Matthew Stafford.
Oh my goodness. Rams. Our host, our poor host, Thomas. All right, Thomas. That's... Thomas, that's why I got it right here for you.
Not because I'm the guy to ask the questions on the podcast, but I literally don't know half the stuff. So
the Rams sent their 2022 and their 2023 first round pick, their 2021 third round pick, and Jared Goff. I thought there was a second round pick, but at the thing I'm looking at right now, it does not have a second round pick. So I don't know if there ended up not being a second round pick or if this thing's missing a little bit of information, but it was at least that. So, while I give you a second to digest that, Colton, what do you think of it? We talked about it a little bit, I know personally. Have your mind changed, Colton?
Not terribly. And it's because 2017, Vikings were in a very similar situation to the Rams. They had, killer defense, pretty awesome offense with Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, made it to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum at the helm and thought they were one piece away, just a quarterback away from getting over that hump, went out and signed Kirk Cousins, gave him a bunch of money, and just kind of proved that, the quarterback isn't everything. There's a lot of variables in there. There's team chemistry, coaching turnover. The Rams losing Brandon Staley, what is that going to do for him? Quarterback is a big piece, but I truly believe that there's only three or four quarterbacks in the whole game that can make their team, elevate their whole team, whether it's the offensive line, wide receivers, running backs, like they can truly elevate their whole team. Matthew Stafford is kind of on the cusp of that, but I don't think he is one. And so we'll have to see how these other changes plan out. As it goes right now, I definitely think the Lions are pretty good, coming out favorably in this trade. They got a possible franchise quarterback, two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and it's perfect for what they're doing as a franchise. The Rams continue to be aggressive, just give away their first round picks like they're going to style, and I think it's gonna end up coming to bite them here in the near future.
That's good news.
That's good.
Now that I know the facts of the deal, and I apologize, Colton actually told me the facts the other day. My memory's not good and I didn't remember, but it sounds like to me that Sean McVay is doing the win now mentality. And that's what it sounds like, giving up his future to win now. So, I don't know. Like Colton said, I definitely agree with his statement. I think Matthew Stafford is on the cusp of being one of those quarterbacks, but he's not quite there as being one of those that completely changes the game. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, those type quarterbacks that literally just change the way you approach offensive football. But so yeah, now that I know this information, I definitely think that the Lions long-term won this deal.
I got to disagree with both of you. I have not changed my opinion either, Colton. Like I said, Colton and I talked about it shortly after. I do, and this is not trying to throw shots. I know we got rival teams here, Colton, not trying to throw shots at all. I think there is a couple main differences. One, I do think Matt Stafford, while I agree with what you guys said about being on the cusp but not quite being there, I do think he's a little bit better and more proven at this point than Kirk Cousins was, especially then. And more importantly, though, I think the Rams are a much better team than the Vikings were. And we're talking about replacing a much worse quarterback. Jared Goff last year was not Case Keenum that year when you guys went to that NFC Championship. And so I think you're replacing a much, much worse quarterback and throwing in Matt Stafford, who's Kirk Cousins was an upgrade over Case Keenum in general, but I don't know. Maybe, was it last year when he had his best year? Maybe that year he was. I know statistically he's had his moments, but as far as being a winning quarterback,
2018 is his best year.
2018. So 2018, I probably was close, but I still don't know in 4 years that he's had a year that contributes to winning football as well as Case Keenum did that season. Much better quarterback, obviously. You guys, I think you guys made the right decision there. But so I think that's the biggest difference. And you guys, not that you guys were 1 year wonder, but like you, we're talking about a Rams team that has been a contender for a playoff contender for 3-4 years now, has had a Super Bowl run. This defense is completely dominant. Aaron Donald is amazing. And so I do think it'll turn out a little bit better. Most importantly, and we know for sure, I know this is going to surprise people. We do not have people in the Lions building. I don't. Colton might have Lions people in the Lions building. I do not. But there's no way that the Lions were going to say, you know what, we just trade for this quarterback that has to start because he has $40 million guaranteed left. So we cannot cut him this year. There's no way that they're going to say, yeah, we only got this guy that pretty much has to be our quarterback at least this year. And the only reason we got him was for salary purposes. It was just to take on salary. But we have multiple reputable sources, Jason Lockefora, Ian Rapoport. Let's see if I have another one. Andrew Brandt, Albert Breer, all saying stuff about how it's being that it was mostly a salary take on for Jared Goff. Like Colton, you brought up a couple weeks ago, Jared Goff did get benched for John Wolford. And so it's not that I don't think that he can't be good. And I do think it's a win-win trade, but I think the Rams might have ended up on the winning side. It'll be fun to watch though.
Well, guys, there's an important game this week.
What, really?
Yep, it's kind of important. Not really, but...
Catan on Saturday, Dave. You better be there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, our game night.
Just let the listeners know I won my first game of Catan the other night against Colton on his board. Totally.
He did. It was the very first game ever played on our Catan board. Then we lost.
Yep, and I got my first dub, and that probably won't happen in a long time, so I better savor this moment. But, boys, there's a big game. It's a Super Bowl. Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Kansas City Chiefs. We have what a lot of people consider the GOAT at the quarterback level of the NFL, and then maybe the upcoming and incoming GOAT in Patrick Mahomes. They're going to duel it out. You got some good defenses too on the other side. Well, not good defenses, but decent defenses. Playmakers on both sides of the ball. Boys, what is your breakdown, analysis, preview of this game?
My expectations for this game are at least 42 points scored by each team in
42.
Yeah, what do you call that? In not overtime, in the duration of the game. I expect it to go to at least double overtime. At certain points during the game, each team is going to look like, you know, they're dominating, they're on fire. I don't understand how this team could lose the game. It's going to be ups and downs, but if I had to pick a winner right now, I think, you know, leaning towards the Chiefs, but I've bet against Tom Brady so much, not only this year, but just in my life, and he's always proven me wrong. And at some point, it's just got to stop. I've just got to realize, you know what? Why so much hate? He's always going to, you know, find a way to at least be in it and give himself a shot. And so to me, it's kind of a toss-up. Chiefs are probably a little favorite, but Tom Brady and the Bucks, can never count them out.
David, what's your preview of this game?
I'm not gonna lie, this was probably one of the hardest games I think I've had to pick this year, at least in this I don't know, it's a hard one because I think every single thing on paper, in my opinion, is towards the Chiefs. I think that the Chiefs' offensive line and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill can avoid some of that pass rush. I don't think that they have someone that can cover Travis Kelce. We know what Andy Reid does with bye weeks. I think that this defense is good enough to slow down Tom Brady and this Bucs team. And like, and I'm not going to try and crap on this Bucs team, so I'm not trying to hate here, but let's just be honest about the last 3 weeks. Each of the last 3 weeks, there was definite moments where you say this Bucs team should have lost this game, their games. You know, you have the football team game where you're talking, if they have Alex Smith in that game, maybe they win. You look at that Saints game, if Drew Brees wouldn't have thrown three interceptions, maybe they win. Obviously, the Packers game, you can change 100 different plays, and then they don't win. And so I think everything on paper maybe leans towards the Chiefs, not a guarantee, but then everything else leads towards the Bucs. Everything off the field, everything narrative-driven. You know, it's the game's in Tampa Bay. It's a home game. And not only is it a home game, this is even more of a home game than any Super Bowl would likely have ever been in reality, because you have 25,000 fans and they're given what, 6,000 tickets to healthcare workers in Tampa Bay? So where usually you have Super Bowls that are a complete mixed bag of fans. Yes, there's obviously going to be the rich people that find out their team's going to the Super Bowl and goes and buys tickets. But most of the time, the tickets are sold out months before anyone knows who's going to the game. Now we have 6,000 people from Tampa Bay going to that game. So maybe the not only is it home field, but home crowd advantage is off the top. And then to even add to that, the Chiefs aren't allowed to go to Tampa Bay until 2 days before the game. Which I know the weather's not a problem, that big of a problem, obviously. But, like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It just seems... It seems like destiny's on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers side, and I really have no clue who's going to win this game. I don't even know who I want to predict yet. I want to continue to hear your take, Thomas.
I was going to say, we can't end this podcast without you picking a Super Bowl winner.
But, I will pick a Super Bowl winner. Okay. It'll be after the Super Bowl.
You know, before we recorded the podcast last week, I would have said the Chiefs. But then Colton got on the air and he was talking about how Tom Brady is like Tim the man Tebow. And I love Tim Tebow. And I was just thinking about that this last week, and I definitely agree with that comparison. I think there's some, and even with like what you were saying, David, with the narrative of like the home field advantage, the Tampa Bay trade with Tom Brady, the TB, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay comparison with the name. It's just like everything is pointing towards, as you said, David, destiny, that the Buccaneers are going to win. I think that at the end of the day, I think that their defense will make enough plays, which is kind of a crazy thing to say against this Chiefs offense, but I think that the Tampa Bay's defense is going to make just enough plays to make it close, and they're also going to get some takeaways, I think. Whether that be a fumble or a pick, I don't know, probably more on the fumble side or some other stupid takeaway, but I have the Buccaneers. All right, David, now we got to know who you pick.
All right. I am going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I literally changed my mind about four times while you were talking there, Thomas. I think.
Do I hear a water bet brewing between you two over this game?
I owe David. Thomas owes me about five water bets. So, sure, we'll throw one on this game. I have nothing to lose.
Oh, what's the big deal? I'll throw another one on. I think we need to get Colton in this, too. Colton tried to just ask that question without having.
Yeah, Colton.
Hey, I can't. You know, it's one versus one right now. Either way I swing, I uneven the odds, and so it just wouldn't be fair. So that's why I left it up to you, Joe.
No, well, seems the losers cheap. Can – yeah, I was going to say the losers can just jump in the water, do the water bet, and the winner doesn't. Or the winners and the loser, vice versa, you know?
Uh-huh.
You want in on this or what?
Buck, 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 buck.
We need
okay. I'll get it on it.
We need a jingle, like a water bet jingle.
Da, da, do, 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 do. Oh, you meant an actual jingle? You didn't mean a wave? Okay. That's fair.
All right.
I'm in on it, but I haven't said
none. Okay, so just let's make it clear. The winners or winner does not need to do the water bet. And then the loser or the losers do.
So exactly like how all wetter bets work. And really most bets in general, that's how they work. Just you cleared that up. Thank you.
Yes, and I was also thinking, reason why I was so slow on thinking about that, what I was thinking, how are we going to do this water bet?
I don't think we get to decide. I think whoever is on the win gets to decide for the losers. That's how water bets work.
Okay, that sounds good.
But
that's not how it works. Bolton made me jump in the the lake. I mean, step into the lake. And slowly get my head.
I will jump into it in the middle of February.
I will not do that. Okay. So that's not my water bet. I want to be very clear. I'm either backing out of the water or I am not doing that no matter what.
we have that on record now. So
yeah. All right. So yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs. Kind of the exact opposite reason of what Thomas was saying a little bit there. I got back to a memory. This Bucks team, I don't think feels slighted anymore. This Bucks team, I think, felt very disrespected a couple weeks ago when they went and played that Saints team. I think that they were hyped up against the Packers, but all week, like, I know that Vegas picked the Packers, but at worst, it was 50-50 everywhere I looked. It was very split. A lot of people thought that they were going to beat us. And so now this team is getting a lot of praise. These guys are getting a lot of praise. These young guys, Devin White, Jason Pierre-Paul, all these guys are no longer feeling slighted. Travis Kelce to Tyreek Hill last week had a little conversation getting out of the tunnel about how everyone's forgotten about them. And I think everyone has. This team is 15-1. This team only lost one game this year. Like, I think that this is going to come in. I think they're going to be a little motivated. I think they're going to be a little ticked off. And I think that they have the talent scheme. I think that they are going to beat the Bucks. Chiefs.
Well, I don't only think it, Davey. I know it. I'm in with you. I'm picking the Chiefs. I'm going against Tom Brady. The GOAT's reign ends, and Patrick Mahomes becomes one of like eight quarterbacks all time to win back-to-back Super Bowls, and Thomas jumps in the water by himself and freezes.
Unfortunately, Colton, a couple minutes ago you said, "I bet on Tom Brady so many times, and he's always beat me."
I have, and apparently I'm a limited time. Okay,
well, listeners, well. I don't know. We're going to do the whole February jump in the water thing?
No. Yep. No. Colton's going to do that if he jumps it. Not me. Yeah, I'm a chicken. I'm the biggest chicken. I will not be jumping in the water in February.
Which is so crazy, David. You're like, you'd be one of those.
All right. What about this? If we get 100 listens to this podcast.
Okay, if we get 100 listens to this podcast, I'll do it in February.
Heck, if we get...
Okay, did you guys heard it? There we go!
If we get like 10 listens on this podcast, I still won't do it. But boys, we got another segment, probably the most important segment.
Before we move on, there's something I want to clear up. Sorry, Thomas, I don't mean to interrupt. But,
okay.
Colton, you did say one of eight quarterbacks to win back-to-back. I know that, Colton, you were not speaking factually, but I wanted to bring just how impressive this will be if Patrick Mahomes does this to light. There has only been 7 quarterbacks to do it. But the crazier part is going back all the way to the start of the salary cap era since 1993. There's only been those two teams that Denver Broncos with John Elway, and then the New England Patriots. So, I mean, in the salary cap era, this does not happen very much. 5 of them happen outside the salary cap era, but we only got 2 in the salary cap era. So, it's going to be pretty dang special if they end up pulling this off.
Hmm.
when they end up pulling it off. I'm sorry, Don. Colton, thank you for correcting me.
I'm always here for you, man. Don't worry.
Well, something a little bit more important than the Super Bowl, like the climax of the NFL season, is this question, or maybe debate. What is the best Super Bowl food? What are you guys going to be chowing down this Sunday?
All right. Hear me out. I've never done this before, but I'm going to go get some Chinese food. Gonna cut up some cats.
That was so bad, Joe, because he's I love Chinese food. So he said Chinese food. Instantly my mouth's watered. You talk about cutting something up. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's he gonna be cutting up? And then cats.
I'm thinking orange chicken.
Pot stickers, General Tso's chicken, fried rice, and cats.
I love fried rice. Fried rice with like orange chicken sauce on top of it.
Now our podcast is labeled explicit because you just talked about killing cats. So go ahead, Colton. What were you saying?
I love Asian food. Asian food is pretty good, but with Super Bowl food, I feel like you gotta stick with the finger food, you know? Chips and dip, chips and guac. Little Smokies. Oh, love the little Smokies. Maybe, you know, a couple of those, like, bite-sized cupcakes if you got a sweet tooth. Well, just you know, keep it light. Ooh, cheese and crackers. Oh, yeah.
Gotta and salami.
Cheese and crackers with a cheese ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cheese ball. Spinach artichoke dip. Don't know if you guys have ever tried it. Guarantee you, if you try it, you'll think better of it than you do just listening.
It's not good. I tried it and it's not good.
Artichoke dip.
It is
great. Cheesy spinach artichoke dip. Pretty good stuff. Probably won't have any at my Super Bowl party though. But finger foods, that's where it's at for Super Bowl food.
David, what are
we're just gonna let him get away with taking every single finger food.
Every single.
What's your favorite food? Finger food. Anything that you can eat with your fingers is now on Colton's list.
Okay. Colton, yeah.
Well, then I guess I'm gonna be drafting, stealing one of Colton's items, but it's something that he didn't mention. Pizza, because pizza is just so great, no matter what, any time of the situation.
Pizza is a finger food.
You eat it with your fingers. No, wait. Are you a fork
guy?
Doesn't
make
it a fork
guy? Pizza is like a whole meal.
You eat it with your fingers. French fries are a whole meal. Chicken strips are a whole meal.
Everything you eat with your fingers. Finger food means
no.
It's like something small.
No.
We're
going to have to put it on the poll and see if
put it on the poll.
Is pizza a finger food?
Finger food.
I don't know, but pizza is amazing. And pizza's my go-to. I'm not going to lie. I'm not the biggest Super Bowl food eater. And I know anyone that's ever seen me before would be surprised because I look like I'm any kind of food eater. But I like Little Smokies, but I don't love Little Smokies. They have a limit. Little Smokies have a limit. You got like five Little Smokies and you're done. You can't eat anymore. You've just had too many Little Smokies.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of dips. I like a lot of dips, but like there's a lot of dips that I don't like. And so generally being at a Super Bowl party eating dips is more than likely I'm not going to like the dip, but I'll try it. I don't know. I know that Colton, I don't know if you make it or your mom makes it, but someone in your family makes a very good dip. That I have tried before, but really like wings. I'm not a giant fan of boned wings, mostly just because it's too much work. Like they taste fine. It's just way too much work. You spend 37 minutes eating one wing, trying to get every single little piece of meat. And what you end up getting is about one bite of meat, not even a bite of meat. So I just can't do it. That's why I stick with just the good old pizza.
You know what, David, you should label this podcast pizza is a finger food, because I definitely agree with you.
You guys are crazy. Okay, it's we already decided it's going on the pod or going on.
Yeah,
the
pod. After David labels this podcast episode as pizza is a finger food. I definitely agree with your take, David. Is the little smokies? There's definitely a limit on how much stuff you can eat on Super Bowl Sunday. My eyes are always bigger than my stomach because I always think of all this delicious food, finger food, that I'm going to just destroy and eat and consume, like all of it. But then I get to the point where it's time to eat. And like you said, I run into the seventh smoky, little smoky, and you just have, you hit that wall. But I would have to say, despite the little bit of shade that it got from David, I would have to say buffalo wings are probably the best.
Oh yeah. Buffalo.
And yeah, just the buffalo sauce, and you know, even better is boneless buffalo wings.
Boneless is there.
Oh,
boneless is there. It's just too much flipping work for too little food. You eat one boneless wing,
work.
And you get four times as much meat as a boned wing, and you get it in 4.5 seconds.
You get way more
You'll eat one boneless wing, and you'll get like a tongue full of meat. And then one time that you eat that one wing,
you're eating
17 boneless wings.
Yeah, because it's not the same amount of meat. You get more meat in traditional.
No, this is a fact. This is a scientific fact. This is not an opinion.
Flipping insane, you guys.
Well, welcome to the
and Thomas. I will not allow you to put words in my mouth. I did not say my eyes are bigger than my stomach. I filled up that plate 17 times.
No, my eyes.
I eat when I'm talking pizza. I eat three full pizzas. Like we've seen again, if you see me in real life, you know that what Thomas just said was a flat out lie. It's just little smokies that have a limit. That's the only thing that has a limit.
Little smokies. I forgot what I was gonna say.
something about how
I was gonna. Oh, I was gonna say something about Colton, but. Something
is chicken strips a finger food?
I don't know what to say.
Okay, so that's a whole meal.
Yeah.
I do know. Oh, go ahead.
When you put it with fries, it is. And
oh
then
my
it's
gosh,
not
are you kidding me?
Because you need two hands.
Don't. You use two hands at once. You get the chicken strips in one hand, the fry in the other hand. You alternate.
What do you do with the dip? You lose that on the dip.
The dip? What does the dip have to do with chicken strips? You do dip on your chicken strips?
Because you need another hand.
Oh, the sauce?
It just doesn't work.
I get you. I was thinking of like a bean dip. I'm like, you don't do bean dip on chicken strips. No, you can dunk this. Why do you need
Why can't you?
Yes, you might spill some on your shirt, but that just adds character to the shirt. You do one hand in the sauce, you do the barbecue sauce, eat the chicken strip, other hand's dunking the fries in the fry sauce, then it's to the mouth, and you're just alternating. Why the fries are in the mouth, the chicken strip's in the barbecue sauce. Why the chicken strip's in the mouth, the fries are in the barbecue, or in the fry sauce. And you just keep alternating.
Who would have known the most debated segment we've ever had on this podcast would have been about Super Bowl food? But I remember what I was going to say.
Traditional is better than boneless. Yes, we know.
I was gonna say that Colton's family, I forgot who it was, they do make a really good bean dip, a really good dip. I forgot what it was called, but I remember we had a draft party one year, and I think it was your mom or you, Colton, I don't know who made it, but you guys brought it out and it was the best.
Oh, the seven-layer bean dip. Yeah.
It is
Thomas.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I just remembered something. I know why Colton is fighting for this take of this boneless wings have more meat than bone wings.
What?
Do you remember in track when we had the eating contest at Golden Corral, and Colton ate like a plate of boneless wings. He's like, oh, I mean a boned wings. He's like, I just had a full plate of food. He has bones stacked up higher than any of us actually had food. Of things that he didn't even eat at all, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm winning this contest. He had 7 plates of food, just because really in reality he had 1 whole piece of chicken with all the bone wings he ate.
And I still even with just a plate of chicken,
you had more food than me. Because I did not win that thing. But that's why Colton's bringing this back up, is he has to hold on to that victory from way back then.
You obviously have a better memory than I do, David, because I forgot all about that. But now that you bring it up, I do remember it, and it does make sense now that Colton won the side of the traditional.
It's like when you tell yourself a lie for so long that you just believe the lie. Like Colton, at this point, he completely forgot why he was lying. He doesn't even know why he's making this up, but he's so caught in this web of lies that it's just entrenched in his brain. You need help.
Dude, I don't even think boneless. Check this out. Boneless, I don't even think
a wing
is real chicken. Really what it is just cat meat.
Ground did you up, just I don't even care what kind not of meat even it chicken. Is. It's about even how much meat you eat, not the quality. You haven't heard me say one thing about taste.
So you're saying it's crap quality.
Taste. All I've talked about is how much effort goes into those stupid boned wings.
Well,
you must be eating it wrong, Davey. Come up here one time. I'll teach you how to eat traditional wings.
It takes way more effort than any other food I eat when I just pick it up and eat it.
You know, we could debate this all day, guys, but I know one thing is for sure. When we launch this podcast, this episode, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is going to be on us because Colton keeps talking about killing cats and eating them. So
I don't know what you're talking about. I have never once said kill cats.
Street.
I said, kick it across the street. I
cut it up.
Cut it up and eat it.
Put it in food. Alive? Cut it up.
You said you wanted us to eat it alive and cut it up.
Kill it.
With keeping it alive, like the cat will still be alive, but we'll just cut off a couple of the limbs. Is that what you're claiming is to be better than killing a cat? Is cutting it up but keeping it alive?
This is the type of episode, if we ever get famous, people are going to go in the archives of this podcast and dig up some old junk on us.
Well, when I run for president.
Like, oh, these guys are hosting Monday Night Football, but now they're... I mean, they used to support the killing of cats and kicking them across streets.
Which is why we will have the Monday Night Football game. All right, guys, I hate to do this, but we have to bring it back to football for one quick thing, and that's because it's the poll question of the week. In 3 years, will the Rams now be in a better place than they would have been? So not tomorrow, not next year, not now. In 3 years, would they have been better without taking the trade, or are they better after taking the trade?
What kind of dumb question is that? Are you kidding me? 3 years?
I know. That's why it was a good poll question.
They don't care about 3 years from now. If the Rams win one Super Bowl, then obviously this trade was worth it for them. And I don't think that they're going to win a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. So I don't think
it's going to be worth it. Okay, so are you going to answer the question that I asked, though? Not is it going to be worth it. Would have they been a better team in 3 years with those 2 first-round draft picks, or would they be a better team with Matt Stafford?
So you're saying on year three?
Yep, in year three.
Like the moment that they begin year three, they're better.
Sure. Year three. Would you in year three, if you're doing your 3-year prediction, Thomas, would you rather have Matt Stafford or the first-round picks?
I would say first-round picks. I think they're going to be worse, not better. I think they had a they have a legit defense, and they just need more consistent play on the offensive side of the ball. Jared Goff.
And so that's why they just traded for a quarterback.
Yes.
To get better consistent play on the offensive side of the ball. I just want to point that out.
That's where I stand. Plus, they have to go through they have to go through three NFC teams, which happen to be three great teams. Well, one great team, the Seattle Seahawks, the Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings, in order to do that. So they have tough sledding. They're not going to be able to match up against those guys. Maybe the Vikings, the Packers. Not-
I mean, I hate to say it, but they match up pretty well against one of those teams a couple weeks ago.
All right, that's Colton. My take.
Rams would have... I don't know, this is tough because I definitely think that it was the right move for them, but who else would they have gotten? You know, they needed to move on from Jared Goff. It's a tough one. I'm going to say the Rams are going to be a worse spot in 3 years because they didn't keep it.
I'm actually with the listeners. The listeners, 65% of the listeners right now have voted for the Rams will be better, and I think they'll be better. You got two late first-round picks. I think Matt Stafford is going to be more valuable than two late first-round picks. But we'll see. We will see.
Well, guys, well, listeners, thank you for listening. I think that does it for this show or this episode, unless you guys have something else you want to say.
Bleacher Report just reported that multiple teams are interested in Derek Carr. Sorry.
Oh, breaking news. You heard it here first.
Well, by the time you hear it, it'll be about 7 hours. Or 17 hours after this breaking news. But just know that if you were with us right now, and it actually was a live show, it would be breaking news.
All right, listeners. Thanks for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next week. And David and Colton will be doing a water bet sometime in the future.
End it.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.